news and views from a Not Straight perspective. This is Not Straight Cast. Welcome to Not Straight Cast. I'm Joe.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Josh.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, as you probably noticed from the intro, there's three of us now.
There are.
So there's Becca, and there's also our newcomer, Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I am doing wonderful.
That's good.
Doing great. Glad to be here.
So Becca, I just noticed on the webcam, is shaking her hand violently like she just burned herself.
My cat bit me.
Oh, no.
You know how you're petting them and then all of a sudden you hit the bite button and they just... Like, that's what she did.
Were you rubbing her belly?
Sort of.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
That's the bite button.
I don't know what it is with cats there. It's kind of like, you know, they flop over and they want you to rub their chest and belly.
It's a trap.
Yes.
And then
exactly.
Eventually, Becca, you know, because I have a cat, you hit that one spot and then it's like, boom.
Oh, yeah. They turn into a different animal.
They're like, chomp. One thing I learned is that having cats is that if you put your hand over top of their face, they'll let go.
Oh, not her. She wraps her arms around me and starts biting.
Thank you, Ebony, too.
Mm-hmm. Ebony is Josh's cat. So I don't have a cat. I don't have any pets. I should have a pet. Yeah,
you should.
We could change that, JoJo.
Well, you never know. Yeah. Once I move, I'm probably going to get a pet. A cat, you know, so
it makes living alone a lot more, you know.
But as Josh can attest to, though, it's kind of like whenever you have to travel somewhere, it becomes a big pain in the neck.
Yeah,
well,
that's
only because
true.
My girl is such a diva that the neighbors started pampering her, and I've only had her for a year, so she wasn't originally mine. So she got so used to the neighbors coming, so now I have to make sure my neighbors come. They walk in the door. I see it on ring. They give her treats in the morning. They turn the TV on for her. They come back in the afternoon, in the evening, and they give her her wet food. And then they play with her for another 30 minutes or so. And she has to have this every single day. So she's pampered.
She's treated like a queen should be treated, right?
Yes.
I have a couple of friends that'll come and pop in on Pooks if I'm not here.
That's good.
Yes.
Glad you guys are here. You guys have friends. Right?
One or two.
I got a couple.
You're probably wondering why Josh is here. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I have some bad news for our audience here. And that's basically Becca, unfortunately, is going to be leaving this show.
I am. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to miss you, Becca.
I know. Yeah, Josh listened to our podcast.
Oh, you do? Aww.
Yes. So I would listen to it, you know, during work. And like Joe would tell me, oh, there's a new episode. And I turn around and get on. And then I was like, Becca's leaving? So when he told me the news, I said, what?
Yeah, I had to take on extra work. And I don't have the time I would like to do to dedicate to this, you know. So it's sad, but I'll be back. I'll be back to, you know,
well,
say
thank
hi
God,
once in
because
a while.
You and I have chemistry. I don't know about Josh and I.
We do.
He's been taking over for you. But but Josh and I have been friends for years, so we obviously have personality. We obviously have chemistry.
Yeah.
I was going to say we have personality too, but I don't know.
Too.
Yeah. Anyways, with that said here, yeah. So for this last show, it will be, you know, the three of us here. So I figured it's a nice way to kind of transition.
I like this with more people.
I do too. We should have somebody new like every week, you know, like.
You know, we've never had a guest on the show ever. So actually, you're kind of technically the first guest too.
Oh, we
awesome.
Talked about it.
I'm making history.
You are. You should feel special.
I do feel special. You know I feel special, JoJo.
You are special, yes. In many different ways. So Josh is from Atlanta.
Yes.
Becca and I are from the Pittsburgh area. So, yeah, Josh has a little bit of a different perspective being in the South.
Definitely. And I know you can hear it in my voice right now as we speak. So.
Well, you lived in Pittsburgh. That's how I met you. You know?
Right. Right. But I actually moved to Pittsburgh. You were one of the first people I met.
Okay.
I was new to the city. I randomly go out. I was like, I've got to get a drink. I've got to meet people.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah. I walk up into this bar and I'm just like, hey, y'all. And before you know it, like within an hour or so, I met mm-hmm. Joe. And we have been friends ever since. So. Interesting story.
Yeah. And
sometimes you just click with people.
Right. Exactly. That's what happened 100%.
Yeah. We were friends. And then all of a sudden things kind of trailed off. We were both in relationships. And then long story short, things happened where we weren't in those relationships anymore. And then we kind of just reconnected. You know, basically we've been friends since then there. So, and then.
Yeah. And then we had that ugly pandemic and.
Yeah. That, you know, that was the time that you and I decided to, you know, both get boyfriends and
get boyfriends. Both, yes. Both Joe and I were single and, you know, we decided during the pandemic, which I think every other gay in the world did too. Like, okay, I need more than like a dog or a cat, you know? So
you need a man.
Decided to shack up and mm-hmm. we had to have that man to be in our bubble, you know? So, and Jojo and I aren't really good at picking them. So
no, we're not. My last relationship ended in a no contact agreement, basically like one step below, you know, a restraining order.
Yeah, that no bueno.
No.
He takes the cake on that.
I'm sorry?
You take the cake. Because even the guy that I broke it off with, like he'll still check in on me every once in a while. You know, we just kind of fizzled. But
yeah,
you take the cake with that one for sure.
Well, I'm just kind of interested to see what happens with this here because it's a 3-year no contact agreement and it expires this year. But I mean, it's been fine, you know, so I have a feeling there probably everything will be fine at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be,
you know, but you know, it was what led up to that was kind of like a big mess. And it's kind of like, it's part of the reason why I don't really date anymore. And unless I know the person really well, because I can't possibly put myself through that situation ever again. And it's really unfortunate, you know?
Yeah. And the way like just society is that there's almost this expectation that you do move fast and it takes a long time to really actually get to know someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I lived with my ex-wife for 8 years and never knew who she really was, you know, on certain levels.
And then all of a sudden, bam, it's kind of like,
yeah, hindsight's 2020.
Right.
It was like, for example, I had somebody message me the other day from our bowling league. Basically, in this case here, they were talking everything there. We weren't friends on Facebook, so I added them as a friend and we're talking. And then all of a sudden came the, oh, you're, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were in a relationship looking through your pictures. I'm like, I'm not. And anyways, I was kind of like, well, I'm available and stuff. And it's kind of like, well, keep in mind, I'm busy here. I have, you know, my business. I have work full time. I go to school full time. There's a lot of stuff that I do here. I keep myself fairly busy. And I'm not sure whether they came across as being an excuse, like I don't want to hang out, you know? But I was like, also too, it's like, you know, I'm in the last 2 weeks of school right now, you know, he wanted to get coffee and stuff. And I'm like, in the beginning of May, we can do that once I'm done with this semester. But, you know, like the last message was kind of like, you know, it's like, I'm available if you, you know, it just kind of felt like I was giving the vibe that I wasn't interested at all. And that's not what I was trying to get across there. It was kind of like, hey, I'm just busy right now. I just need to, you know, kind of let things calm down a little bit. And then at that point, yeah, we can certainly meet and grab coffee and stuff, but I'm not that person who's out there looking for a relationship anymore, you know?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I've gotten to the point where I say, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's kind of like,
I'm not actively like, I'm too busy. You know, it's like,
I'm not gonna let my life rotate around trying to find a boyfriend,
find a man. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I mean, you're probably the only person, Becca, who's actually in a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's even long distance, I guess you could almost say.
It is. We only see each other like every, like once a month, maybe. And you know what? I kind of like it this way. Like, I live alone and it's just me and Puka. And I don't know. I've learned that I really like my solitude.
Yeah.
It's peaceful. Like I have friends, you know, I have my tribe. I invite people over. I'm not like a complete hermit or anything, but I like my space. I like being able to come home from work and not have to engage.
Right. Or deal with somebody's bullshit, basically.
Exactly.
Or
come home to, you know, find that, you know, you cleaned the house the day before and now it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like by no fault of your own, somebody else doing it. And it's just, I don't know. A lot of that domesticity is just not worth it for me anymore.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, I agree too. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it'd be nice to have somebody, but it's not necessary. You know, it's nice for certain things there, but it doesn't have to do with the actual relationship. It's kind of more like financially, it'd be nicer to have somebody, you know?
Agree.
Yeah.
And, and also too, like there are those certain points where it's just kind of like, I need a hug, you know?
Yeah.
And
Puka, come here.
I know. I'm like, where's the ebony? I'm like, come hug me.
Well, are you going to have her bite you again? That's the question.
She might.
Right. Oh man. But, yeah, so we're recording this on a Friday and we're going to release it on Sunday. So it's actually a different kind of recording schedule because you were on a trip recently yourself there. So you're back from that and everything there. You're back in Decanter, Atlanta.
Decanter. Oh, come on, JoJo. It's Decanter.
Decanter. Decanter? Decanter?
Decanter. Isn't that the thing you like drink liquor out of?
It is.
Thank you, Becca. I was like, wait a minute. We were actually rated the number one city in Georgia and one of the top five in the U.S.
Woohoo.
So that's my hood right there. So
I've only been to Atlanta. Well, I mean, I went to what's that area? That's Sonoy, Georgia. It's where they filmed The Walking Dead.
Oh my gosh, we have Walking Dead tours here every single day, and there's a ton of tourists. I actually had a friend that is coming next weekend who said, "Can we go do the Walking Dead tour?" And I was like, "Don't tell anybody, but I never watched it." I was like, "Okay, if you really want me to go with you, I will." But I'm like, it's not really going to mean anything to me. So
they have all the sets still up there, or they did. I don't know if it's still there in Sonoy, but yeah, you could go on like the tours. But we just walked around on our own.
Yeah, awesome. It's a big attraction.
Yeah, like you say a show. I've not seen it. I'm kind of like, you know, for somebody
I love The Walking Dead.
Being the media, I'm not as much as you would think.
There's something very political about it all, that show. Like the Walking Dead is kind of like an allusion to people just following blindly and, you know, just doing what they're told, asking no questions. And then the survivors, the ones who, you know, aren't zombies, are the ones that are kind of fighting against the system.
Kind of like our current political climate, huh?
Yeah.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
it's relevant.
Anyways, here, I guess we'll go ahead here and we will take our first break. And once we come back, we'll talk about Donald Trump being a bully. And also, too, the number of books targeted for censorship is going up. So we'll cover that once we return. Hey there, listener. Did you know about Audible? Audible lets you enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. You'll discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio. Audible also includes thousands of podcasts, from popular favorites to exclusive new series. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month and keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Members also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts. You can download or stream their included titles all you want. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anywhere, anytime, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores. You decide. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Go to audibletrial.com/NSC. That's audibletrial.com/NSC. If ensuring speed and security for your sites is really a top priority for you, then search no further than VoxOnyx's shared website hosting plans. They use SSD-powered servers and provide numerous site acceleration tools that make your website's load noticeably faster. Additionally, they deploy ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, they will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system, absolutely free of cost. Get started now by going to VoxOnyx.com. That's VoxOnyx.com.
Welcome back to Straight, not Straight Cast.
Let's just do this. Welcome back to Straight Cast. Welcome back to Straight Cast. Too bad it's not April Fool's. Yeah, we would do Straight Cast. Hey, Bob.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Want some beer, boobs, baseball?
Alpha male.
Oh, man. Anyways.
And now introducing Andrew Tate. All right.
You ready?
I think. Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. And we're going to start with our first story in our news segment. So Donald Trump was branded a bully by Jill Biden in a speech reiterating the Biden administration's support for LGBTQ plus people. The first lady described the former president as dangerous in a fiery speech during the Human Rights Campaign Equality and Action Gathering. The three-day event is the HRC's largest member, volunteer, and board gathering of the year, featuring guest speeches from politicians, campaigners, and members of the community. During her speech at the event, Jill Biden urged voters to consider each candidate's track record on LGBTQ plus rights, while praising her husband's enshrining marriage equality as the law of the land. Jill Biden took aim at Trump, the presumptive Republican candidate for the 2024 presidential election, over his vehemently anti-LGBTQ rhetoric. While Joe Biden has been outwardly praised for his dedication towards securing LGBTQ plus rights in the U.S., his inaction in curbing the onslaught of anti-LGBTQ plus statewide has garnished criticism from some. HRC's legal director, Sarah Warbillow, said that there is no magic wand that can fix the growing epidemic of violence against LGBTQ plus people, but that the Biden administration was doing what it could. A Biden accountability tracker monitored GLAAD reports that the Biden administration has made 333 moves over 1,181 days, including speeches, formal acknowledgments, and the signing of bills. Its most recent entry was for the White House official condemnation of Uganda's Anti-Homosexuality Act, which prohibits homosexuality and sentences those guilty of aggravated homosexuality to death.
Good Lord. It's just like, oh, I'm talking about gosh. Uganda. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been this a very obvious wave of right-wing extremism across the world, really. I think it's bigger than just the United States than what's happening here.
It seems like they're really targeting transgender folks.
Yeah.
Right now at this point. You know?
Yeah, they're getting a lot of it.
This administration is doing all they can to curb that. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's just, you would hope that, you know, the president would have some more power over certain stuff like that. Like, I get states' rights with certain things, but this wave of fascism that we're seeing, and it's not just on the right, you know, like, we're seeing it from both sides. And it's like, nowadays, there are two wings on the same bird, basically, and they're all fucking us up the ass. But at least one side is not actively trying to take our rights away. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we're left to choose with, you know, between now is like bad or worse, but you know, you gotta pick the person that's not attacking civil rights, and not just for the gay community, but you know, like brown people too. Like it's all across the board, and you see this wave of fascism that we're seeing is because we are seeing end stage capitalism, and we're seeing the beginning of the fall of the U.S. empire. And there's always an extinction burst of the people that, you know, want to maintain that power
I do not want to see what will happen if Trump gets elected again.
There. No, basically, it's going to be like, terrifying. Like, I'm legit thinking of ditching the, like, going elsewhere.
Canada?
Yeah. I got a backpack. Becca, yeah.
After being on the road for a business trip this past week, that's all I saw.
Yeah.
I fear so much because I literally, like, with this whole trial going on, everybody's phones in the conference room are blowing up with notifications. You get back to the hotel, the news is on. The next thing. And it was just Trump, 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 like, all week long. And I was like, I can't do 4 more years of this.
No, and there's a very
real... And he's sitting here on trial, too. Like,
yeah, very real possibility that he'll be reelected. And, I mean, just the fact that they're still letting him run while he's criminally charged, like, is this real life? Like, it's dystopian.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, I read an article there where basically it's kind of like ever since, you know, the election, basically, it's kind of like it's been open season on transgender folks.
It has been.
I mean, it's just really frustrating to see here.
It is, and it's terrifying. And, like, I have family that are trans. Some of my best friends are trans. And like, you know, they're going after gay men, too, because, you know, like, drag and all mm-hmm. that, you know. Fortunately, you know, on one side, you know, lesbians are generally left alone when it comes to all this stuff. Like, we are way more tolerated than, you know.
Straight men love lesbians.
They do, they have this fantasy that we're just keeping ourselves occupied until their golden dick walks in the room, you know. Like, you can always tell the guys that learned how to have sex by watching porn.
The Golden Dick Awards, right? Oh, good Lord. Anyways.
Moving right along.
Yes. Josh, you're up next.
All right. Well, in news, in 2023, this was just released this week, the number of books that were targeted for censorship went up 65% from the ALA, which is the American Library Association. The rise was the most dramatic in our public libraries, which saw a 92% increase in challenges. So we're all used to them taking place at the school level, but now we're getting to our local libraries, you know, in every city and in every town. So in another record-setting year for book challenges, the Intellectual Freedom documented 1,247 demands to censor library books, materials, and resources in 2023, which, like I said, was a 65% increase. So the biggest trend that we saw from this data was the focus turned to public libraries, and that was up 92%. And they pushed for a long list of books to be banned. And as we can all imagine, these weren't just individual titles, but they were also LGBTQ. They were BIPOC individuals. And 47 of the titles targeted had BIPOC or LGBTQ authors, characters, or themes. So therefore, in response to the surge of book challenges and efforts to restrict access to information, the American Library Association launched a new campaign. It's Unite Against Book Bans. It's a national initiative that is aimed to empower readers everywhere to stand together in the fight against censorship. So the coalition will mark its second anniversary during National Library Week. So that was rather shocking to hear, quite honestly, because I work in publishing. So
yeah, and the fact that, I mean, basically it's went up 90% in public libraries, because normally we would hear about school.
You know, schools. School it's bands. Always the schools and the school boards and the parents throwing a fit, and you know, you've got teachers getting fired for reading a book, a children's book, that a parent can just deem unacceptable and say, oh, we're teaching gender identity because the book said, like, well, boys can do girl things and girls can do boy things. Like, it's insane. It happened right here in Georgia next door to me, yeah. Actually, in a county, in Cobb County. I was really shocked to see that they're going after the libraries now. So not just the schools, but now we're targeting the actual libraries. So everybody needs to make sure to, like, start hitting up your library and jump on board to try to target this censorship.
Read what they're telling you not to read.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, here's the list of stuff I shouldn't read. Read it.
Read it. There's a reason they don't want people to read those books. There's a reason.
Well, it's because they don't like them. Because
exactly.
Unfortunately, you know, they tell truths that these people, conservative folks, would rather you not know, you know.
Right. Well, but as we all know, knowledge is power. And exactly. I can remember, now I'm telling my age, I loved going to the library when I was little because, you know, I didn't have.
Me too.
I couldn't download stuff off the internet. Okay. You know,
I didn't have the internet when I went to the library.
You know, I have my library card. And I mean, I was able to check out books like with gay themes and gay characters. And, you know, like when I was still young, before I could go out and get into the scene and the community and things like that. And the fact that they're trying to try to take those types of things away, you know, is just absolutely insane, you know? So.
Well, we live in this pseudo puritanical kind of society where you have all these people that with their fake outrage and their fake morality that are doing the exact things they're trying to ban behind their closed doors. Like the mental gymnastics it takes to get this kind of thing going is astounding.
It just shocks me, like how much an effort they're going to put into ban every book they just don't like, you know.
Another thing was, is it wasn't just LGBTQ, it was BIPOC, so it was like,
yeah,
they're targeting, you know, our people of color, you know, and
obviously
and
we're coming from a conservative standpoint,
right? So basically it's like they don't want you to read literature that's written by Black people, that features Black people. They don't want any LGBTQ whatsoever, so it's,
they just want you to be
like
ignorant.
White power movement.
Yeah, so it is. It's absolutely a white supremacy thing.
Right. Absolutely insane. Okay. I just really couldn't believe that. And because even I used to even teach and, you know, I was just shocked to see. I looked at scanning some of the titles and I was like, oh, my gosh, it would be scary to be a teacher now and then go to just pick up a random book. Hey, will you read my book? And then you could read that book and then get fired for it because some kid brought it into your class and wanted you to read their book that they had just bought, you know, like.
I guess if there's any advantage to it being public libraries, is that really probably the only people they'd have the answer to would be what, city council?
Right.
I guess, you know.
I assume, yes. So I'm not definitely as versed there because I work more with like districts and publishing and children's literature, but I was really shocked to see that because especially with our new generation, it's like, how are we going to take away, you know?
So I think the libraries would have a little more latitude and be like, nope, sorry, we're not getting rid of that book, you know?
Right, exactly. So we all need to support the libraries again. And I know that's kind of hard because now that we've gotten into the digital age,
it's
easy.
I know,
I'm guilty of it. You know, we all get online and we can just access our information there. So everybody go check out a gay book at their local library, please. Like,
yeah, or sign libraries up. Are like one of the last free things that there really is to do, you know.
That's,
it's still
very
free
true.
To go to the library, and I think that might actually be part of their crusade against them, you know. It's that they want to monetize everything.
Very true.
If it ain't coming from one direction, it's coming from the other. So
exactly.
But anyways, believe it or not, we're on to our second break already. So when we return, Grindr becomes AI enabled. And also, too, lesbians have more orgasms than straight women. We'll find this all out next. Vikaya is a fresh new approach to LGBT plus travel, one focused entirely on the guest experience and creating memorable, bespoke travel experiences to amazing destinations with stellar entertainment and world-class hospitality. Vikaya charters entire ships and resorts so that their LGBT plus travelers have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. View your Vikaya dreams with their e-newsletter or book a vacation by visiting nsc.lgbt/VACAYA. Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, where conversations spark connections, diversity takes center stage. Tune in for insightful dialogues on love, life, the news, and everything in between. Not Straight Radio is your destination for thought-provoking content that resonates with every shade of the rainbow. Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, because everybody's story deserves to be heard. Visit nsc.lgbt/radio to listen now. Did you know that Not Straight Radio is now available on your smart speaker? Just tell Alexa, play Not Straight Radio.
Really? You want to listen to that crap?
Not Straight Radio, now available on your smart speaker. Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. So, the next story will be of interest to Josh. Get ready, Josh. Because Grindr is about to even get better or worse, depending on how you look at it. and how you feel about artificial intelligence. So after announcing recently that it was hoping to shift away from hookups and casual encounters by adding features focused on long-term dating, travel, and professional networking, the popular dating app says it's also aiming to provide AI wingmen to users in the future. Bloomberg first reported on the plans a few months ago, saying that Grindr is partnering with XHuman Inc., a provider of generative artificial intelligence tools, to create a tool that could recommend a restaurant to take a date to or select music based on a person's profile that it may find aphrodisiacal if and when they come up for a drink. I cannot pronounce that word to save my life. Anyways, if we don't do it, then someone else will, Grindr CEO George Arison said back in December. If you're not first to market with something in AI, you're going to miss out. Now, Platformer reports that the app, which has a chokehold on the queer community since its launch in 2009, is thinking about taking the AI wingman concept even further by creating AI boyfriends that will engage in sexually explicit conversations with users when they can't find an actual living, breathing human being to talk dirty to at them late night when they're on the app. Think of it sort of like an old 1-900 number, but cheaper or powered by ChatGPT instead of a poor college student trying to make a little extra money to pay for their books and living expenses. So per Platformer, Grindr is currently revising its term of service to ask people explicitly if the company can train its AI models on their personal data, which could include direct messages Platformer has learned. This information will likely be used to train another paid product, an AI boyfriend based on XHuman technology, that can sext, flirt, and maintain an ongoing relationship with paid users. The AI boyfriend is in its early stages of development, according to employees with direct knowledge of the product. The news may unsettle Grindr users, who until now have been able to assume that their often explicit DMs they send will always remain private. But it appears that Grindr will ask permission before it moves forward in training its AI products on them. So according to Grindr employees, however, the AI boyfriend has been challenging the build because, like most other AI tools, the bot has proven to be pretty racist and tends to make problematic remarks about Jews or Muslims in particular. Considering as it pulls its data from existing Grindr chats, however, this isn't likely a huge surprise for too many people. We can only imagine what the bot has to say about fats and femmes. The app is notorious for bringing out the absolute worst in people, especially when it comes to topics around race and identity, although the company has taken meaningful steps to curb this problem in recent years.
This one is all you guys.
Well, I just said I'm single, so I guess if I'm looking for a man, Grindr's gonna find one for me. So if I can't find one in real time, I can get an AI boyfriend now, like, to talk dirty to me. I guess I could get probably up my subscription.
Well, I'm not on Grindr anymore, but it's kind of like, this is actually a little scary if you think about it, because it's kind of like, you know, if you're on there, you're messaging somebody, it's like, let's exchange pictures, and they're kind of like, you know, sure, you know. I mean, what exactly is it training this on here? I know it's training on the chats, but, you know, like, watch, this AI boyfriend better be sending me pics. It damn well better be good, as far as I'm concerned. So, but yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like AI for the sake of AI.
Yeah. Is there going to be like a difference between like AI or actual people, or do you have to guess, or are you going to know that you're actually talking to an AI? Like is this like a lottery? Like sometimes right. You get AI, sometimes you get a real person. Like, how does this work?
And Josh, wouldn't this piss you off personally, that if you were chatting with somebody online and then you realize that they're a bot, a freaking bot?
I don't think I'd be too happy about that, quite honestly, because there is already enough trash and spam. And, you know, I travel so much for work. So it's always fun when you ditch the colleagues, you know, you go back up to your room and it's like, well, who's around me? You know, let's get on Grindr, you know, like who's in the area? Well, it doesn't take 5 seconds before you get some like crazy pick. And of course, and it has like a website, you know, and they're just, you know, it's like a bot or it's an advertisement. So this is really interesting to think that, well, I might get a message like, hey, what's up? How are you? You know, and okay, let's go ahead and converse for like an hour and then figure out that this isn't even a person.
You know? You don't find out until you go to actually hook up.
Right. Right. And then I guess what? Like, well, I guess, will they ring into your app?
a good sign would be is once the stick its robot penis into you, right?
Oh my god.
If you guys could see Jay right now.
I'm doing like the robot thing, you know. Oh my god. Yeah, it's just kind of like some things should not have AI applied to it there. I don't need a virtual boyfriend. I'm sorry, you know.
It's like if I'm being on Grindr, I do either. I kind of prefer the real thing.
I mean, that's the last thing I need is somebody fake, you know, screwing around with my emotions, you know, and it's just kind of like, you know, no. Yeah.
Like how disappointing would that be too? Like, it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you said earlier too, Joe, is that, you know, not only the boyfriend thing, which is crazy, but now it's going to start using AI to recommend, you know, like the restaurants or what type of music. So it's going to be like pulling your data. So it's like, oh, if somebody is after me, they're going to be like, oh, he likes this music. He likes this cuisine.
Yeah. Take it's him like here. A step I mean, too you far, know, as like, far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit interesting with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think AI is out of hand.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the end of Grindr because let's be honest, Grindr is an app where people go to hook up. It's not known as a dating app. It's not known, as a long-term relationship app. None of these apps really, you know, are known for that. So,
Christian Mingle. I'm just going to join Christian Mingle. I'm just going to cut the cord with Grindr. I'm sorry.
Plenty of Fish. I guess that's more a lesbian dating app, right, Becca?
Plenty of Fish.
No, that's a straight one because.
Yeah.
Oh.
Funny story. Back in the day when these apps were just starting out, on a side note, my sister and my mother was single. So my sister was like, well, you should get on some apps. So I'm sitting with my mother one day and my mother's like, oh, look at this guy. Look, he's talking to me. He likes me. And she's playing around. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know? And I was just visiting. And she's like, oh, your sister set me up with this dating profile. And then I take the phone from her and I was Plenty of Fish.
Oh, no. So it's
kind of like straight Tinder, I guess, nowadays. I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe it's for straight folk.
There are lesbians on there, but they're all a little of the little off variety. little off.
They're in the garage with their U-Haul. With the garage closed, yeah.
Yeah, waiting to meet a woman that has her own apartment. They're like waiting in the U-Haul, ready to go.
I'm moving in tomorrow. Oh, jeez.
But I'm wondering if this will give Grindr a run for their money because they are number one. So
well,
I'm
this
wondering,
is
like,
Grindr. I mean, will it make Grindr better?
No,
or worse?
I'm saying, like, will it help to bring back other apps because there's so many other gay dating apps that everybody's defaulted to Grindr, but. If they start taking your data like that and you're getting AI boyfriends and
would it like, you know, like would people shy away from using the app because of that fact?
Yes.
Like would Scruff, for example, become more popular, which is probably the only app I can think of.
That's what I was kind of thinking, like, you know, because I know that they have some competition, but Grindr always takes the cake, you know, but we see the return of like A for A, you know, Adam for Adam, you know, like.
I forgot about that. I remember that.
That was an old school one, like back in the day. Gay.com, no, I really am telling my age now.
I'm thinking of gay.com, the green. You know,
yeah,
gay.com. Oh my god, the gay.com. Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that.
Back in the day when you meet quality people, I actually met my first boyfriend off of, you know, the Pittsburgh M4M chat room on gay.com.
But you're gonna call that quality? Didn't you say you were single?
Well, it was better back in the day. I actually can meet real people that didn't have a multitude of various different issues that weren't immediately obvious, you know. I swear, things have just gotten worse.
You, JoJo. You know I love you.
Things have just gotten worse. I mean, I swear, you know, dating has just gotten worse overall, you know. I mean, Becca, you don't know because you're in a long-term relationship and you're practically married.
No. Not practically married, but
well, yeah, I mean, as married as you're possibly going to be, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, as far as I'll allow it to get, I guess.
And you, Josh, in the hand, I guess you don't want a long-term relationship.
I don't know. I'm never opposed to it. And it happens here and there. So you never know. I travel a lot, though, for work. So I never really know.
That's not your main focus, I guess, would be.
But it's not my main focus. I always put myself first, you know. Man's kind of secondary, you know, because I'm not going to bow down to some guy and let them boss me around or like. You can put me in no kitchen.
I'm kind of the same way, but it's kind of like, I think it took me a lot longer to learn that. And also too, it's kind of like, you know, maybe I'm willing to make a little more, exceptions other than, you know, more than other people would rather do. It's kind of like, I don't really hook up, you know, which I think is very, you know, it's not a common thing really in the gay community to not hook up. And so I think that really, you know, limits my chances there, you know.
I have no
typical gay. I see. Yeah. No, but I mean, it's common, you know, it's just something I don't do. And it's just pretty much there. It's just kind of like, I don't know, my own personal thoughts about it. Maybe I'm demisexual. I don't know. Who knows?
Never know.
But anyways, no matter how good or bad us gay men are, lesbians are better.
Let me tell you, okay, like straight women are proof positive that sexuality is not a choice. Lesbians have more orgasms than straight women, and yes, it's men's fault. Sorry, straight men, queer women just do it better. The reason straight women have fewer orgasms than lesbians is precisely what you'd expect, according to a new report published this month in the journals Social, Psychological, and Personality Science. The report included two surveys, one of lesbian and straight women and another of bisexual women. An initial survey asked 476 mixed group members how much they value orgasms during sexual relations. While both lesbians and straight women valued climaxing the same, lesbians reported more clitoral stimulation and more orgasms overall during intercourse.
It sounds like they know what they're doing, right?
Exactly.
The second survey of 482 bisexual participants found that the bisexual women value orgasms the same regardless of the gender of their partner, but those partner with women had higher clitoral stimulation and orgasm expectations than those partnered with men.
Straight men, I'm assuming, yeah. Can't find the clitoris.
Yeah, well, there are these guys that'll just like rub your left labia for 2 minutes and then ask you if you came.
No. No, I did not come. Try again.
Part of this could be influenced by media, researchers said, as sex scenes are often framed around the man's pleasure. Clitoral stimulation and it's overlooked for basic vaginal penetration, and the scenes typically end with the man's orgasm. And you know, I've read that only about 20% of straight women that actively have sex with men actually can have an orgasm just through intercourse all by itself. Most women need extra.
I have to admit something, actually. When I lost my virginity when I was like 16 and a half, 17 years old, it was with a woman. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was outside. We were by like a stream pond. It was, you know, in a secluded area. We're never going to be found and everything there. Wouldn't you know it? I gave her like a half dozen orgasms before I decided to finally myself have an orgasm.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that should have been a good sign that, you know, one, it's taken me a long time, and two, I'm probably gay, but I didn't know it at the time. So
that's why you lasted so damn long.
Right? Exactly. It's like, this is not interesting at all. No, good Lord. But anyways, yeah. So I'm maybe the exception to the rule, but probably because of the fact now I know that I'm gay, you know?
Yeah. I could never figure out what the issue was for me. Like, I just started dating boys because I thought that was like what you were supposed to do. And the feelings that I was having and the thoughts that I had had, I thought everybody thought like that. I thought all girls were, you know, felt that way about their girlfriends, but you know, and then when I realized exactly what it was, I'm like, oh, this light bulb went on over my, oh, the first time I ever had sex with a woman, I was like, what, really? Oh, like, yeah. Oh my God. Oh, this is why.
You're like, that's amazing.
This is a big deal. This is it right here. Cause it just didn't happen. It was sloppy and terrible and awkward.
Was it good though?
With dudes? No.
No, like with women I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mostly. There are women out there that really don't know how to, you'd be surprised. I don't know that they even like know their way around their own junk, but there's a few of them that I've encountered that could use some brushing up.
And Josh, you and I think we've all had bad sex, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes. bad sex. So yeah, I mean, it's just sad here that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like we were saying before, it's like rub your left lip and, you know, like, did you come yet? Yeah. <It's>
like... or just get down there and start slapping it, like,
right?
Like, what are you doing?
Ouch. This hurts. You're using your teeth. Yeah, we get that a lot in the gay community. The teeth.
Oh.
The goddamn teeth. Ugh.
Oh.
Yes.
Geez. Yeah. I like my men to have them.
Well, yeah, I mean. I'm more afraid nowadays of having my penis bitten off than anything else. You know, it's kinda like... But anyways. We're going to go ahead and take our final break, and we'll be back with our Memento conclusion as Not Straight Cast continues after this.
Couplet is passionate about specialty coffee. Queer woman owned and built for everyone, Couplet was created to make great coffee more fun and approachable. We skip the pretentious tasting notes and gatekeeping and go right to the good part. Ridiculously delicious coffee you can prepare however the f*** you like. Shop online at nsc.lgbt/coffee. That's nsc.lgbt/COFFEE.
Want to support Not Straight Cast? Well, you can. Visit the notstraightcast.com/store, where you can get Not Straight Cast t-shirts, hats, bags, coffee mugs, and much, much more. Along with getting some snazzy merchandise, your purchase in the Not Straight Cast store also helps support the show. Visit notstraightcast.com/store. That's notstraightcast.com/store. And now it's time for the moment of conclusion. When the internet is riddled with conspiracy theories, it can be difficult to decide which to worry about. While QAnon and Pizzagate are providing themselves that have radicalizing potential with real-world repercussions, others are flourishing beneath the radar or certainly going unnoticed by anyone over the age of 25, which is what I mean to say. TikTok doubts the existence of Helen Keller. You remember Helen Keller, right?
I don't get this
yep.
at all.
How could Helen Keller's existence be up for debate? There's excellent film footage of the author, activist, and disability rights advocate who became deafblind after a childhood illness, learned to communicate using hand gestures, and understand others through the Tadema method, and learned how to speak. She attended Harvard, wrote 12 books, and many more essays and lectures. Her autobiography was adapted for film and stage. She traveled the world campaigning on civil rights, labor rights, and women's suffrage. Her book on socialism was burned by the Nazis. She died in 1968. Her birthplace is now a museum. None of this seems to matter. Screenwriter Daniel Kunkka, who came across a conspiracy theory when speaking to his teenage nephews and nieces, said they and other proponents don't doubt the existence of Helen Keller, the woman, but the fact that she was both deaf and blind, yet still will write books. Setting aside the offensiveness of this assumption for a moment, the conspiracy seems to have started as a joke. Anyone who's met a member of Gen Z knows that they are creatures of the internet, and as such have an almost awe-inspiring gasp of irony. They are walking examples of what come to be known as context collapse. And yet, it does seem that some teenagers do doubt Keller's achievements, or in some cases, that she was disabled at all. Some of the videos have been removed, with TikTok telling Newsweek that any post that dehumanizes others on the basis of disability is a violation of our community guidelines. But others still remain up. Does it stem from our own insecurities? Could it be that a blind, deaf woman with more success in life than many of us is too much to grasp? Possibly, writes one young woman on Medium, with such extraordinary simplism that this correspondent had to take a moment. So yeah, talking about this article here, yeah, it's just absolutely amazing that people doubt the existence of this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, this new generation and the social media. That's the biggest thing. It's like TikTok.
Yeah,
TikTok.
Anything for clicks, anything for likes. And it is ableist. This is ableist. And that's where it's all coming from. And this is especially frustrating for me because I studied ASL and deaf culture and deaf history. And I've met some people that are deaf blind, and they are some of the most amazing people you will ever meet. They hold their hand out, you put your hand in and you sign, and they do it by feeling what you're signing.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. It's an incredible thing to see.
Just absolutely amazing there. Yeah. How they can understand it and everything and carrying conversations. Like your one friend who is hard of hearing reads lips.
Yeah. She reads lips expertly.
Yeah. And I would not know that unless you had told me.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, she has a deaf accent, but yeah. But you'd really never know. Yeah.
But yeah, she was just as part of the conversation as very well, like everybody else was. And it's just absolutely amazing.
And it really blows my mind, though, because it's like these kids nowadays, it's like anything they see on an app, whether it's like TikTok, Instagram, anything, you know, it's just like they believe anything.
Yeah, like, that is. Yeah, there's so much tabloid flying around on TikTok. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good content on there, but there's so much tabloid running around, and people are so quick to be like, oh, my God, share. Like, take 5 minutes, go to Google, look up the validity of share them around.
I know. Yeah. And it's just the fact that she was both deaf and blind and had a lot of success.
Right.
It was kind of like people like, this is impossible. You know, it's like, well, yeah, anything's possible.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Just absolutely amazing that these people don't think that she was real when in fact she was very, very real, you know?
Very much real.
It's just a matter of, you know, if you're not believing that, what are you going to not believe in? Thus, that's why we end up with people like Donald Trump as a president.
Well, I mean, you have people thinking the earth is flat and that birds aren't real. So,
oh, yeah, you brought up something there too, actually. I was thinking about that. And it was just like, yeah, that's actually become like an actual accepted theory in a sense there with the earth is flat. It's kind of like, that goes against the laws of physics, but you know, still, it's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Why are you guys believing that?
Yeah. I think that people like to just try to be controversial and, you know, the next thing.
But then again, you have to wonder, do they really know?
No.
And did they just do it for publicity?
I mean, however, I think you could fly them up in the space. They'll still be like, you know, no, this ain't real. Or the one post I think we've all seen, it's kind of like on Facebook. It's kind of like the Flat Earth Society has members all around the globe.
Yeah.
Read going that again slowly. Globe. But anyways, believe it or not, here, this brings us to the end of the show. And Becca?
Oh,
I know. So sad.
It has been wonderful to have the privilege of keeping our listeners laughing and bringing you the latest LGBTQ headlines. I will miss being a part of your weekly lives, and I'm sure I'll be back to Cameo now and then. Yay. And thank you to our listeners that have made this podcast so much fun for me. And thank you to my friend Joe for giving me the opportunity to connect with so many people.
Thank you so much, Becca, because I mean, when I brought this show back, you're the first and actually the only person I asked, you know, when I decided to bring this back last year. And you're like, absolutely, yes. So.
And I'm going to miss you because, like I said, Becca, I've never got to meet Becca in real person. So it's like such a privilege and honor to get to sit here with Becca today, even though we're virtual.
Oh, thank you. I'm sitting here in Atlanta.
So I'm like, I finally get to hang out with Becca because I have listened to you. And you've just got that calm, chill, and just your laugh, your energy, just your wit.
Oh, thank you so much. Your wisdom.
Just, you're amazing.
Becca is exactly the same person in real life as she is on this show. And it's kind of like, we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of laughter, you know. Definitely, we've had chemistry, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that fact there. And
absolutely.
I will definitely miss you dearly. And hopefully, Josh and I can carry on the tradition that you and I started with this.
I have all the faith.
I don't think I'll ever be able to step in your shoes, Becca, but I will try.
I'll be yelling at Josh a lot more, yeah.
Oh, of course. He's good at doing that behind the scenes.
But definitely, I'll definitely be looking for you to come back and, you know, to the show every once in a while there, as you can there.
I will do that. I would love to.
Glad to hear that. But anyways, yeah, I want to thank you very much for listening to the Not Straight Cast. I want you to subscribe to us where any great podcasts are sold. And you can visit Not Straight World, which will allow you to access all the websites. Not Straight Cast, Not Straight News, Not Straight Radio at notstraightworld.com. You can email us at feedback@notstraightcast.com or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/VM. And until next time, have a not straight one.